Most of y'all know Dr. Carmen died. He went from 4 months ago, he was running doing five-mile runs twice a week, working out every day, healthiest man I've ever known. Got COVID, got over it, but his breathing didn't return to normal. So they did a scan, and they found tumors in his lungs. And so he took off to Rubio Cancer Center in Mexico and was there for over 2 months and was feeling better. And he didn't tell anybody but me and Jürgen. Matias is out in San Diego, and told us not to say anything, just pray. And so that's what we did. And they came home from, we got to Dallas, and he took a nap. He texted me the day before and said, "Hey, pray for my energy to return." And so I did, and I talked to him for a little bit. And then the next day he took a nap, and he didn't wake up. And they took him, rushed him to the hospital, and did a scan on him, and cancer was in every organ of his body. He went from running 5 miles doing 5 mile runs to death in a matter of less than 4 months. Anyway, everything we do here started there. And so let's give honor to that. Another thing I want to say is I never thought I'd have to say it. And I'm not upset with anybody other than myself. Jessica Lewis and Marvelly work all month long for one day when they need help, and we didn't deliver, and we're getting, it's getting less and less and less. And this is a church that serves. This is a church that wants to do something. This is a church that's in the on the go. But you know, we're getting stale a little bit. And that's common when summer months come. People don't want to get out and hand out groceries or pack groceries or whatever the case may be. But we've got to be the standard. Yeah. It can't be other churches that come in here and help us that are the standard makers. We've got to be the ones that make the standard. And I apologize to both of you. But I promise you, I'll do everything I can to help you. Everything. Because it just, everything y'all do is, I mean, it's for a whole month. They just pour and pour and pour and pour. And they do things y'all have no idea. And even things I don't know about. But anyway, I got this message. I was in a Serengeti, in the northwest corner of the Serengeti, locked in a... I was locked in a, you know, those shipping containers they put on trains? Had one of them. They locked me in one of those things because there's people trying to kill me. Yeah, well, no, it wasn't a mafia. It was a tribe. They were upset that we were there, and so they locked me in one of them things, and I kind of get used to it after a while, but when you go in there, and you hear them lock the door behind you. It's kind of a sobering feeling, you know. It's 110 degrees outside, but anyway, God gave me this message, and I mean, it's a simple message, but I've had to preach this twice a year, every year since 2017, and I've never once preached it here because it's just. It's just different. It's just different. And yeah. And you know, Rob and I have traveled around the world together about 100 times, I guess. You know, it seems like it's not that much, but it seems like it. And in all of my travels and all of my adventures and all of the things that, that I've done around the world, I've learned a few things about God. I've learned a few things about God and the way He operates. And the first one, and He is faithful. Whether you're faithful or not, He's faithful. It's not a reciprocating thing. He is faithful. No matter how bad you screw up, He is faithful. No matter what you do, He's going to be faithful whether you are or not. And that took me a while to realize that, but it does. And the other thing is that He is just. He is the justice maker. He is the just. You know, He is just. He's not going to let you down. He's always going to be there. But when the final days come, there's going to be a judgment, and He is the just judge. He judges, not us, because He is just. We're not, but He's just. And the third thing is He's always on time, whether you realize it or not. You know, they said, people tell me all the time, you know, in God's time, and well, you know what? My time, He's a little bit late. I need it now. I need it now. I need a place where we can have church now. I don't need one 2 years down the road. I need it now. But I didn't realize how God operated. That the stuff that was available at that time wouldn't be big enough to do what we needed to do. And it was going to cost too much. So He just gave us something in the right time that we could do something with it. And so He's always on time. It may not seem like it, but He is on time. Now, I've learned a few things about the devil, too. That he can't tell the truth. It's impossible for him to tell the truth. He's a liar and the truth's not in him. If the truth is not in you, you can't say something that's true. So anytime you feel tempted, it's a lie. You don't have to know anything else about it. If you are tempted, it's a lie. The just God is going to... You follow me? He can't tell the truth. So if you... I always tell this story. I've told it to me. Y'all probably heard it. I was doing a new Christians class in a Baptist church. And I went to be the pastor at another church. And Sandra Sanford said, I've been praying about taking over your position as a new Christians class. And she said, but I just don't know this God. I said, yes, probably the devil telling you not to do it. I mean, it's probably the devil telling you, or God telling you, no, you don't need to teach young Christians. I said, just quit trying, quit looking so much for the supernatural that you miss the God that's right here. The simplicity of it. It's not always a deep revelation. It's something simple. God operates in a simple way. And so, second thing I learned about the devil. He hates my guts and he wants to kill me. And if you're doing something for the kingdom, you're on his hit list too. If you're not doing anything for the kingdom, don't worry. Don't worry. He don't care. I mean, let me tell you something. Devil don't care if you get saved. As long as you don't do nothing after that. That's why you see so many comfortable Christians that just walk down the aisle, they say the prayer, they get dunked or splashed, and they'll come, and they won't participate in anything. Because they're sacrificing their time to come to church for you. God, the devil doesn't care about those people. They're not doing anything. They're not making a difference. So therefore, why in the world would he waste his time? But a soul winner, they're on the hit list. I mean, it's bad. But he wants you dead. If you're doing something, he wants you dead. If you're not doing anything, he don't care. If you want to not be bothered by the devil, just don't do nothing. See how that turns out on Judgment Day. And then the third thing about the devil is this. He is stupid. He tries the same old tricks over and over and over again. The thing is, a lot of Christians are not that bright either, so they continue to do the same things over and over and over again. That's expecting a different result each time, and that's the definition of insanity. So, the devil continues to do this. But there comes a time, he does the same thing over and over again, but there's a time when he realizes that he needs to move from checkers to chess with you, because you get more, you get empowered, you get, you know, you're staying in your word, and you're getting things done for the kingdom. You're working hard for. Then he has to go to chess. He wants to think three moves ahead of you then. But he's not very bright. You want me to tell you how bright he is? Here we go. Throughout history, okay, the history of mankind, the devil was looking for Jesus. He looked for it over and over. He knew what Jesus looked like in heaven, but he didn't know what earthly form he was going to take on earth, and he didn't know when he was coming. That may be some information he needed to get before he got kicked out of heaven. You know, if he can talk angels into leaving heaven, what can he convince you to do? He's a smooth talker. But he looked and he looked and he looked and he looked. I'll give you some examples. When the Israelites were in slavery for 400 years to Egypt, y'all know what I'm talking about. There was a movie about it called Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston. Y'all know the whole deal. Yul Brynner was in it. He was Ramses. But they were told that God was sending a deliverer. So the devil thought that was Jesus. So what did he do? He whispered in the ear of Pharaoh, and they started killing babies. Every baby from 2 years old and under were to be killed. And thousands of babies were killed. Thousands of them. Why? Because the devil thought, if I can kill him before he's empowered, I win. Because there's only one of him. Well, what happened? We wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about Moses, the deliverer. And Moses' mother, y'all know the story, pushed him in the Nile River and blah, 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 blah. And he came back and he delivered the people. Elijah comes along. And Elijah is the miracle man. Nobody's ever seen anybody like Elijah before. He can, if he says it, God backed him up. If he said it's not going to rain for 7 years, it's not. God's going to say, okay, no more rain for 7 years. That's it. God believed in Elijah so much. Elijah was so faithful that he had the devil convinced that he was the Messiah. The devil, I told you, he wasn't very smart. So he tried to kill him. Try to have him kill himself. I mean, over and over and over again. All the way through the Bible, the devil is looking for Jesus. Now, some of you are looking at me like, what in the heck is he talking about? But he's always looking. So when it came time for Jesus to be born, what happened? Herod put out a decree that what? All babies 2 years and under are to be killed. It's still going on today. It's the same spirit. It's just in a different people now. Well, I'll get all kind of Facebook snapple. But you know what? I don't care. I am in the soul business, not the body business. I speak for the souls of those people, of those unborn children that can't speak for themselves. You can say it's your right to choose all you want to, but it's still not right. It's wrong. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You can't tell. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you cannot support abortion. It was a tool that the devil tried to kill Jesus. He killed thousands of babies and killing millions more since then. It's straight out of the pits of hell, and I don't care if it's your right to choose or not. You can choose to raise that baby, or you can choose to have that baby adopted, but you cannot choose to kill it. But it's just, you know, okay, Facebook fans, I did it. They're already texting and posting and unfriending me, and I don't dislike people that disagree with me. It's their right to be wrong. They have every right to be wrong. He knew Jesus was coming. He just didn't know when, he didn't know where, and he didn't know what form he was going to take. Now, this guy knew Jesus better than anybody on the planet. But he didn't know that. So he kept looking. That was stupid. He would look, and he would look, and he would look, and he would look. He spent thousands of years waiting and looking for Jesus. So what happened? A decree went out, all the babies get killed. What happened? They take Jesus and send him to Egypt. He's looking in the wrong place. Jesus isn't even in the same country he's in. So they come back when he's 12 years old and he's teaching and things like this. And the devil has no clue. Jesus, Jesus was not on the devil's radar. He thought it had been dealt with. And then, I got to get some scripture in here so you'll know what I'm talking about. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. John the Baptist was baptizing people in the River Jordan, okay? And so Jesus walks up and he said, "Hey, will you baptize me?" He said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." John recognized who he was. The devil didn't. John recognized that he was the Son of God. And so John baptized him. Here we go. Let's read it. When he, talking about Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven. A voice came from heaven. A verbal voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My question to you is this. Who was God talking to? Jesus already knew it. John already knew it. There was nobody of significance on the bank that he would be talking to. So who was he talking to when he said, "Hey, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I got him here. Now he's empowered. Come get him." Come on, devil. Come on. Are y'all getting this? God had to tell the devil who he was. He had to release his Son from all the works of the devil, but he knew that he couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost descending upon him and being in Him. Even Jesus Himself. Are you listening to me? Not one miracle. Not one. Not even a hint of one. But He sent His Spirit, and then everything changed. Everything changed. There was a new miracle every day. What happens in the... what's my next scripture? I don't even know where I'm going right now. Oh yeah, Matthew 4:1. Y'all got to get this. This is immediately after He was baptized. Then Jesus was led up by what? The Spirit that was in Him. For the first time in His life, He was led by the Spirit that was in Him, not the Spirit that was on Him. For the first time in His life, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In other words, now you're loaded. You were locked, cocked, and ready to rock, Jesus. Go let Him have His best shot. That's what the Spirit was leading Him. The Spirit led Him to be tempted. The Holy Ghost ain't going to lead you into the temptation. He did Jesus. I'm reading it. I just want to read it right here. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You ever seen it this way before? It's different, but He led Him to be tempted. And the devil tried. And he waited till Jesus was at His breaking point. 40 days without food or water. Jesus' body was at its weakest point. But His Spirit was stronger than it had ever been because He had pushed down that flesh, and that spirit man was stronger than it had ever been. And so, the devil came and he was ready. He was able to resist the devil. The temptation didn't work. Why? Because he pushed down his flesh so much that his flesh didn't need what the devil was trying to buy. The Spirit fought for him. For the first time in Jesus' life on this earth, the Holy Spirit was full in him, and the Holy Spirit led him in his words, in his actions, in his footsteps, in everything that he did from that point on. For the next 3.5 years, he was a walking miracle. Every day there was a miracle, 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 miracle. But not one before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Not one. That should say something about the power of it. You see, when people get saved, like I said, it doesn't bother the devil a whole lot. But when they get filled, it scares the snot out of them. I'm just saying. Why? Why would it bother him? Well, the first thing is that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, you've got the power to overcome all the works of the devil. Be a walking, talking miracle machine. You know what T.L. said? T.L. said, without miracles, what proof is there that Jesus is alive? I'd never looked at it that way before. But it's true. Well, you know, people can make the same claims about Buddha, Muhammad. All these religions can claim the same thing that Christianity claims, that their way is the right way, but they don't have any miracle working power. The reason that miracles are for the Christians is so they can prove that Jesus is alive. And if He's not alive and living in you, there's no proof. You can say He's living in you, but if Jesus is really living in you, He's getting stuff done. Every day, new miracle. Every day, new miracle. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. All right. Are y'all getting this? I hope so. I'm sure having fun, so I don't care if you get it or not. I'm joking. The Old Testament tells us, be still and know that I am God. The book of Acts tells us, get filled and show that he's God. That's the way it's got to work. Do you really think that the Holy Ghost is here just for you? He's here to show that Jesus is alive and well, still on planet Earth. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's not sitting on a throne in heaven doing nothing for you. He's preparing a place for you. Are you getting my point that if you're not empowered, you're not a threat? If you're not empowered, if you're not filled, what difference can you make? I mean, this death hit me hard, but it was a life well lived. But knowing him, he may be a little bit mad. Because we've had this conversation several times. And I always said this, and he agreed with it and liked it, and he preached it actually. Once you're dead, there's absolutely nothing you can do for the kingdom of God at that point. You are totally useless to this world. And I mean, do I need to explain that? You can't get nobody saved from heaven. You can't get nobody healed from heaven. You can't get anything, you can't feed people from heaven. You are there to worship. Period. That's all you can do. But you can't have anything, any impact on the earth that you've left. We're only here for a short, short time. Man, I'm telling you, when somebody goes from running 5 miles a day to dead in 3 months, I'm telling you, it's a short, short life. If you live to be 100, it's just a speck of the amount of time that you're going to live in eternity. Everybody's going to live in eternity, right? It's just some of them going to have a better address. You know, some of them going to be going up, and some of them going to be going down. Some of them be up in the cheap seat, some of them going to be up in a mansion, whatever. What determines that? What you do here? What you do here? All right. Go to Acts 19. I don't even know what this says, but I've got Acts 19, 2 through 6. Read. So it must be good. This is Paul talking. And he said to them, do you remember the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, there's a difference between believing and receiving the Holy Ghost. People can say, well, you know, I'm saved, and so I'm filled with the Spirit. No, you're not. You're born of the Spirit. You're not filled with it. It's a totally different thing. They said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. These are people that were believers. We didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We just followed Jesus. You know, we're followers of Jesus. They call us Christians. They look down on us. And Paul said to them, into what then were you baptized? into John's baptism. So the baptism of water and the baptism of the Spirit, Paul's talking about, there's two different things. There's salvation, there's baptism in water, and there's baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's what he's trying to say. Go on to the next one. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus. Next. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the next verse says this. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The whole process may have took 10 minutes. Maybe. Went and baptized them. Laid hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then they were empowered. They went from not even knowing there was a Holy Spirit to being baptized in it in a matter of minutes. It's not a hard thing to do. The process is very easy. It's not a hard thing to do. But it's a game changer. It makes you powerful. It makes you be able to walk in miracles. Acts 1:8 says you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Just like Jesus was empowered. So what did Jesus say in John 14? Things that I do, even greater things will you do. Because I'm going to the Father and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost back. And he's going to empower you to do things. You can be unstoppable. Unstoppable. You know, the Holy Ghost is the driving force behind the new covenant. He is the reason. There's a lot of reasons that Jesus came, but the main reason that Jesus came was to get his Spirit into you. And he had to go through this process to get it. It was worth, this is so important, it's worth dying for. It's worth leaving in heaven and coming to this filthy planet, living a life to be brutalized, tortured, and murdered so that this thing can get into you. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to get Jesus into the earth. The New Covenant, get Jesus into you. That's how it works. All right. Boy, y'all are just fired up this morning. Woo! Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. There's that word again. Power. Who went about doing good, healing most all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Put your name in there. How God anointed Justin with the Holy Spirit and with power. It's no different. Anywhere, you just put your name here. Just put your name there. And the things that Jesus did, you'll also do. Okay, all right. First of all, these are questions that were asked me. I preached this message, and we had 1,200 people get filled with the Holy Ghost that fast. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Because I answered simple questions. Number one, some of these people didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. They were like these guys we were talking about. They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They didn't even know there was a Jesus the day before. And then what happens is, You get in these nations, and man, the Holy Ghost just starts doing things. It's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff, man. just to show them that He's alive. That's the reason for the Holy Ghost, so that the miracles come. So they're for the unbeliever. They're not for the believer. The believer does them, but the unbeliever sees it and says, hey, that guy is under authority from heaven. What he says goes. Because he speaks for the Father. And they get it that fast. There it goes. They get it that fast. Okay, so first question is this. This is the first question. First thing everybody asks, how do I get it? Well, you ask for it. You have not because you ask not. You got to ask for it first. People say, just come up here and throw their hands up. It's, all right, lay hands on me, pray for me. All right. For what? Tell me, tell him what you want. Ask him for what you want, then I'll lay hands on you, because then we'll be in agreement and you'll get it. If I just lay hands on you, it's not going to happen. You have not because you ask not. You get it, and then there's a... Anyway. What proof is there that you got it? Well, you'll feel it. But you can't really rely on your emotions, you know, so there's no feeling in the world like it, of course. But we can't depend on our feelings. You'll be empowered just like Jesus was. Jesus went from student to master in a matter of one dunk. This didn't do it. This did. The water had nothing to do with it. The Spirit is what did it. I don't think people get how exciting this is for me. The same Spirit that was in Jesus, you know who Jesus is, right? The King, King, Lord. The same thing that was in Him is in me. That's the coolest thing ever. And all I had to do was ask for it. And then I started doing some things like Jesus did. You know, miracles started happening. My gosh, you know, gold teeth would start showing up in people's heads. And tumors would fall off. And just all these crazy stuff happened. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. And I believe it. So I have to just act on what it says. If you just act on what it says and you're empowered by the Holy Ghost, things are going to happen. Then you're going to be a threat to the devil. But you've been empowered to the point where you can overcome all the works of the devil. For God is in you. Not just with you, He's in you. And that power that's in you can be released, and man, things start to change. Things start to happen. The opportunities open up. Things just, everything changes. There's nothing in the world like it. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. If it wasn't for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I probably wouldn't be here today. I just wouldn't. I'd be saved, but I'd probably backslid, you know, I mean, because there's nothing to keep me on track. There's nothing to keep me honest. There's nothing to keep... Are you following me? There's nothing to keep me charged up to go and get things done. If you could ask my family, if I'm not doing something, it's because I'm trying to figure out a way to do something. I never had that before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never did. It was just something that You know, I would do something for a period of time, get bored with it, and move on. I would have done the same thing with Christianity if I hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a game changer. It changes everything about your relationship with God, about your relationship with people. As a Christian, it's the best decision you can ever make. The devil will have no power over you ever again. Don't you want that? Don't you want the devil to not have any power over you for the rest of your life? That's what I strive for. That's what this delivers. People don't want it. The majority of Christians don't want it. Why? Because they think that they're going to do something stupid. Well, the stupidest thing you can do is not get it. Let's look at Peter. Peter screwed up more than all the disciples combined. Right? Y'all know it's true. Y'all are just scared Peter's going to say something, going to whip you when you get to heaven or something. I'm not scared of him. But we're probably going to be tangling first day in heaven. But he did some stupid things. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, can we build a shelter? What? This is Moses and Elijah. They're not staying here. They don't need a shelter. What? Just shut up. You're showing your ignorance. I'll be with you to the end. Denied him three times. Here they come. Whacked off a soldier's ear. The stupidest of all the disciples. On the day of Pentecost, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, got up on top of Solomon's porch, preached, and 3,000 people got saved immediately. And then miracles followed this guy the rest of his life. They would see Peter's coming. They'd take their sick and they'd lay him on the side of the road so that his shadow passed by, that people would get healed. This is a doofus that's empowered. It changed everything. It changed his personality. It changed everything about him. He was a totally new creation. He wasn't an old sinner saved by grace. He was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of Almighty God decided, I'm going to dwell in Peter and we're going to get things done. Think about it. He was like the Paul Gray of disciples. He did some stupid stuff. But what happened when the Holy Ghost got a hold of him? Everything changed. Everything. I'm out of time, but golly, I got a lot more to say, but I'm not going to do it. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be empowered by the Holy Ghost to be able... Just for your own personal use, you know? Just say that for your own personal use. That you can get through situations that you can't get through without it. That you can be empowered to overcome things that you couldn't overcome in the past. You know? Let's just say, the Holy Ghost, just for me and nobody else. You're going to find out when you get the Holy Ghost, it ain't nothing about you. You're going to start looking for people to reach. You're not going to start reaching in anymore. You're going to start reaching out. So, do you want to be empowered? That's the only question. It's easy to be empowered. But do you want to be, or are you scared? Well, I'm not ready for that. Okay. Just be unempowered. Let the devil run all over you. People come and counsel me from time to time. I'm a terrible counselor. Y'all know that, right? I just, you know, when you ask me about heaven and hell, you know what I say? What choice do I have? Heaven good, hell really hot. Everything's pretty much black and white to me. You know, I mean, I'm like my dad. He didn't have any gray areas in his life, and for God's sake, I don't either. So when people come at me and say, "Well, you know what? I'm having problems with pornography." I said, "Well, you feel the Holy Ghost?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, then get filled, and it'll take care of it." That's my counseling right there. That's it, the whole thing. "Well, I'm not ready for that." "Well, you should be going to be looking at porn all the time then." If you have no desire to be empowered, you're gonna fall right back into the same old stuff over and over and over and over and over again. But when you're empowered, you have the ability to overcome the works of the devil, for God is in you. Anybody want counseling? People will call me up and say, "Can you schedule a counseling session with Ginger for me?" Do you think Greg and Angel will counsel with us? They don't want me. I'm just, "Got the Holy Ghost?" Yeah. Well, evidently, you're not listening. I'm just saying. I just got to put it out there. If you don't have this thing, you ain't never going to be in the inner circle. You ain't never going to be empowered. God's not going to lead you to people to help them unless you're empowered to do it. Almost said it. God's not going to lead you to people that need help if you're not empowered to do it. There we go. A better response. There. I have to say everything twice now. I have to say everything twice now. Okay? Okay. How many of you want to be empowered? I want to be empowered. There's a filling and there's a refilling. And it gets a constant state. Peter, after after he preached, man, he went and he prayed. He said, "I need to be refilled." And he prayed for boldness. Peter now prayed for boldness. Because he knew that in the boldness that he had inside of him was not enough to overcome what the devil was going to try to do. And he'd shown that without the Holy Ghost, he denied Jesus. But with the Holy Ghost, he became the leader of the New Testament church. Isn't that amazing? That the doofus fisherman could be the leader of the New Testament church. Well, how crazy is it that some kid from Castor travels the whole world preaching the gospel? How is it? Because if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I would have never left Bienville Parish. I was praying one day and the Holy Ghost told me something. I'm going to tell this story real quick and then we're going to give people an opportunity. I was praying one time, and God brought up Jeremy and Christian. And so I said, "God, I've never told anybody to do something like this before. But he kept keeping it on me. So I went up to Jeremy, and one day I said, "Hey," as I was praying the other day, "and you need to sell your house." Now, pastors, give spiritual advice. But, that's kind of bold when you go up to somebody and say, "Hey, God said you need to sell your house." Well, him and Christian had already been thinking about it. See, it wasn't something that I didn't bring this bold news to them that shocked them. They had already been thinking about it. They were just needing some confirmation. And so God, since I was the one filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was close to Jeremy, God chose, but he could have given it to anybody. But for some reason, he gave it to me. Why? Because I was available. Because I was available. Because I was filled with the Spirit. I had the ability to do that. And Jeremy and Kristen did, and what was it, 2 weeks their house was sold, and then they bought a new one that nicer, and it's just crazy how God does things. You know? But anyway, all kind of things are going to come your way when you are empowered. So, let's all stand up. If you've never been filled, come on, and you want to be empowered, come on down. Now. Okay? Lord, I'm going to go preach this somewhere else. How many need to be refilled? Always, I do. Devin, come down here. Devin. Jody, too. I'm sorry. Where's Joe at?